This is chapter 10 of Nim's Island. The next morning, the red lines and the yellow ooze, angrier and pussier than the day before, were back on Nim's knee. Her body was warm and her head was as fat and floaty as a cloud. The solar panel was okay. The laptop battery was charging. The other charts and chores didn't seem to matter. She didn't feel like breakfast, but Silky fussed until she had a glass of water and a banana. Galileo swooped past, chasing a booby bird with a fish in its beak. Another letter was sticking out of his band. "Thank you, Tropo tourists," said Nim, grabbing the paper as Galileo snatched the fish cap from her hand. "Dear Nim, great news! Your fix-it father has got a fixed-up rudder. I'm on my way home. Plankton celebrated, too. Put on a great show last night. And I've discovered a new species of dinoflagellate protozoan zooplankton. It doesn't look exactly like you, but I named it after you anyway. The wind's against me, but if it doesn't get worse, I'll be back home tomorrow night or the day after. Love, as much as a big plankton love a little plankton, Jack." Nim knew she ought to be happy and ought to write a letter back, but her knee hurt too much to care, and she needed advice faster than Galileo could bring it. She dozed beside Silky, and when she was too hot, went back to the hut. The battery was charged. Just for a moment, she wondered if Alex Rover still wanted to write to her now that the rafts were finished, but there was no one else to ask. To, aka at incognito.net, from Jack Russo at explorer.net. The date was Friday the 9th of April at 10:48. "Dear Alex Rover, I'm sorry I couldn't write yesterday because I forgot to do the science stuff, so the battery wasn't strong enough to turn on the email. What would your hero do if he cut his knee when he climbed Fire Mountain and now it has red lines and yellow gunk and his head feels hot and cloudy? Also, does your hero get lonely and miserable when he's on the island and the lady hero is with the bad guys? And even if he finds a coconut pearl, it doesn't seem as pretty because there's no one to share it with. Because Silky and Fred don't care about things like that, except when Fred tries to eat it. But that doesn't count." From Nim. Alex had woken long before daylight, with the story dancing in her mind like images from a film. She saw swaying palms and hot gold sand, a shimmering waterfall and grumbling volcano, clear blue sea and cloudless sky. As the sun came up, she looked out at the dawn gray roofs and railways and put on the CD, seabird songs and dolphin duets. "Just like being by the sea," the blurb claimed. "Not quite," said Alex, turning on the computer. She read Nim's email and turned quite pale. "It can't be true," said Alex. "A kid can't be all by herself on an island." And she read it again. Then she printed out all of Nim's other emails and read them again, and she looked at the map she'd drawn. She read Nim's email about climbing Fire Mountain and what the island looked like, and realized that Nim never mentioned another person. "If one real thing has happened in my life," said Alex, "this is it." To Jack Russo at explorer.net, from aka at incognito.net. The date was Friday, April 9th at 5:55. "Dear Nim, if my hero's knee were very swollen and sore, he would soak it in the sea and then clean it up with fresh coconut juice and bandage it. Then he'd rest in the shade and drink lots of water. And if he felt lonely and miserable, he'd tell someone, maybe on an email. That's what girl heroes on real islands should do too. Are you alone? Where are your parents? Do you need help? Love, Alex." Nim read the letter fast and turned off the computer. Her knee still hurt, but it didn't seem as bad now. She knew what to do. She took her blue water bottle down to the beach and sat in the shade of a rock with her legs in the water. Silky sat on one side and worried, and Fred sat on the other side and slept. And Nim sipped her water and dreamed in the middle. When she woke up, she was stiff and sore, and the sun was going down. "I've been here all day," said Nim, and she didn't know if Alex Rover's hero would have sat there that long, but she liked the way her head felt, as if it belonged to her again. Then she took a clean hanky from the hut, punched a hole in a coconut, and wiped the yellow pus and slimy muck away from her knee. And now the knee was sore, but not hot and fat, and she turned on the laptop and read Alex Rover's letter again. "Oh," said Nim, and felt pink and happy, because if Alex Rover wanted to come and rescue her, then he really must be a hero, just like the newspaper story said, even if she didn't need to be rescued. To, aka at incognito.net, from Jack Russo at explorer.net. The date was Friday, April 9th at 1826. "Dear Alex Rover, my mother went to investigate the contents of a blue whale's stomach when I was a baby, but some bad guys frightened the whale and she hasn't been seen since. Jack is studying plankton. He went away for 3 days, except his rudder got broken in a storm and so did his satellite dish. But he sent me a message with Galileo, the frigid bird, to say that he'd be home soon. Soon might be tomorrow or the day after that. I'm not alone because Fred and Selkie are here, and so is Chica. So I don't really need help because I washed my knee, just like you said, and it feels a lot better. And I'm happy that you're really your hero, because I always knew you were. From Nim." But when she turned off the laptop, she didn't feel quite so bright and brave. So instead of going to bed, she called Fred and Selkie, and they went down to Turtle Beach and sat with Chica till the full moon shone silver on the waves. Chica would leave soon to wander the world's oceans for another year. "But you'll come back next spring, won't you?" said Nim, because it was hard to think of Chica leaving too, when Jack wasn't home yet and Alex didn't need to rescue her. Chica nodded sleepily. "And maybe then," Nim said, "Alex will come home and meet you too."